The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We are embarking on a new shared path in deterrence. In the newly created strategic steering group, we are considering what mix of capabilities we can use to further increase our collective deterrence in the future. And in addition to this work on a common doctrine, we will also involve the conventional German forces in a nuclear exercise with the French armed forces later this year.
This thing that is soon to come, this thing that is going to dumbfound the people of the world, I want to tell you, my friends, the politicians of the great nations that are actually helping to build this thing and don't realize that they're only building a Frankenstein that is going to turn on us. They're going to stand aghast when this thing happens. Your Bible says so.
Gradually, and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power, which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire that will combine some 350 millions of population, a power so mighty that our Western peoples will stand aghast when it flashes suddenly into full being. Yes, your Bible says that the world will be startled.
A voice crying out in the wilderness. He stood alone for decades. He died in 1986, of course, but as our brochure brings out, he was right. He was right. And now we're seeing it happen. It's all happening right before our eyes. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. I have way too much material for 55 minutes, but we'll try to make the most of the next hour. As I so often say, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. If I run out of gas at the end, we've got that recap of Celtic Throne. I've been waiting to play that. It's about 8 minutes long. Really exciting to put the finishing touches on what was a very successful campaign or tour for the group this past summer. But we're seeing the formation of the prophesied European military force or machine, as I said a few months ago. A German-led European military machine. And that quote from Mr. Armstrong from many decades ago, he said the great nations of this world are actually helping to build this thing. That's what we're seeing. We're helping to build this thing. And of course, it's proceeding along under the cover of, well, we're fearing Russia, and we distrust the United States. So we've got to have our own military machine. This is straight out of Revelation 17. And it's happening fast. Revelation 17, 12. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So it comes on the scene suddenly. Comes out of this bottomless pit, as Revelation 17 says. And then it's not around for very long, but it wreaks havoc on the earth. 10 kings coming together. They have one mind, it says in verse 13, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. It's a beast power. And the nations of this world are helping to build this thing, as Mr. Armstrong said, and they don't see it yet, but it's about to explode onto the scene. This is at German Foreign Policy. They sent this out just a few moments ago. Germany and France launched their first military exercises for cooperation on potential French nuclear weapons deployment. But German bomb discussions also continue in Berlin. Germany's discussing, and of course they do it. We learned this from World War II. Churchill wrote all about it. What they do behind the scenes. It's different than what they announce publicly. It's a lot worse. Or in the case of the military machine, it's a lot bigger. There's a lot more to it than people realize. And of course, this time around, you don't even need a massive army. You just need the right tools. You need the right equipment. And you need cooperation. You need one mind among those 10 kings. That's what's prophesied to happen. It says Germany and France have conducted their first concrete exercises to trial cooperation on potential French nuclear weapons deployments. The deployment of German military personnel as observers on a French nuclear maneuver is planned for this autumn. It says the underlying military doctrine called by the French forward deterrence was introduced by Emmanuel Macron. Well, the French are introducing it. The British are on board with it. America wants this. The nations of the world are helping to build this thing. No resistance whatsoever. Domestically, discussions are still ongoing in Germany about an exclusively German bomb. Now, we've talked before about American weapons, French weapons. And here's Germany now talking about, well, maybe we should just get our own as well. And then all the bases are covered. Geopolitical futures. Friedrich Merz met with Macron at an air base near Cologne to discuss cooperation on nuclear deterrence. I mean, just think about this. There was a time when mentioning Germany and nuclear in the same sentence, it would have shocked some people. It would shock commentators. But it doesn't anymore. It doesn't. The nations are helping to build this thing. That's quite a statement from Mr. Armstrong. And it's going to spring on us like a trap suddenly. It's going to come at a time when people are saying, peace, peace. There's all kinds of cooperation. There's lots of love. There's lots of unity. You should go through and listen to yesterday's show. We could give a show every single day about this not being God's world. In some ways, we do sound like a broken record. Look at the handwriting is on the wall. The world's about to explode. And you can have these unbelievable movie productions or new gadgetry, all of this automatic power at our fingertips and be fooled into thinking that it's a pretty good world. We're making good progress. We're making lots of deals. There's lots of prosperity. We don't see what's coming. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, by the way, he gave a great speech last week on the subject of the resurgence of left-wing terrorism. And he's completely right. He talked about the summer of love in 2020 and all of these commentators that were justifying the violence, the bloodshed, the looting, the burning. And Rubio's main point is that since 9/11, you know, our focus has been on radical Islamist terrorism. But now the greater threat, as he sees it, as the Trump administration sees it, is terrorism coming from the radical left. You have this guy in New York City that just tried to firebomb the ICE headquarters. Play that clip. I think it's number 4.
Guys. Get away.
So Rubio's completely right. It's happening all over the place. And then you, for their part, you have the newspapers reporting that, well, it was just an incident or there were some fireworks. He tried to blow up the building. And he's a known anti-ICE left winger. Some would say he's a little bit crazy, a little bit wacko. Well, all of these people are. Satan and his demons have been cast down. The point I want to make, just following what Secretary Rubio said, is the one that Mr. Armstrong made so long ago, that the United States can only see one enemy at a time. And so now you have Jeroboam. He's back, and he's focused. He sees the evil of the radical left, no doubt about it. But we don't see the evil empire that is rising out of the heart of Europe. We don't see it. And so it's going to spring upon us suddenly. And when it does, just remember where you heard the warning. Remember the voice that was crying out in the wilderness. My father, back in 2022, this is 4 years ago, he talks about the Revelation prophecy, Revelation 17, and the bottomless pit and so on. And it says here, this is referring to Germany, which will form the heart of a coming European superstate. After World War II, the elites who had caused that war went underground. Their underground activity continues to this day. This prophecy describes this German-led power as a beast that was and is not and yet is. It appears to be gone, but it is just underground. It's not only important to see what we're seeing above ground, But we've got to take note of what's happening underground as well, or what did happen. What's being discussed behind the scenes? There's Mertz right out in the open saying, yeah, we're going to have joint cooperation exercises involving nuclear weapons. And then also, you know, we're discussing whether or not to get our own nuclear bomb. They send these trial balloons out all the time. Nobody overreacts. Nobody reacts, I should say. This is the time, actually, for some overreactions. And yet we're not getting them. Can only see one enemy at a time. My father says here, here is how this prophecy describes this coming European power. And he quotes the two verses I just read to you. And then says, we can expect 10 strong leaders to arise in Europe. Surely some of them are already in power, and come together to strengthen a European superpower led by Germany. Here's Emmanuel Macron. Yeah, and Britain too. Oh yes, that was all over the morning brief today, Richard Palmer. He said that Britain and Germany are shifting into a new golden age of military cooperation. The Telegraph reported this morning, the two sides have bonded. This is talking about Germany and Britain now. The two sides have bonded over their straightforward approach to defense cooperation. So here the leadership in Britain, they're out there saying, you know, the enemy is Margaret Thatcher. The German rearmament, that's good. That's a good thing. We want this. There's your Isaiah 3 leadership for Ephraim. Sources familiar with Britain's defense strategy say they have cast aside a Cold War era view of Germany as passive and ineffectual. Those days are over. We're in a new age. And the spirit of the new age is unity. And the vibes we're getting from Germany, it's all good. And the history that we've had with them, it's over. The end of history is here. Says the UK for some years wanted Germany to play a role on defense that it just couldn't politically. But now that's changed. There's an enormous sense of opportunity. This is quoting from the Telegraph. As I say, it's in the morning brief. Germany has made the financial commitments. They're spending dizzying amounts. They take a while to make a decision, but once they've made it, they really get on with it. in this sort of logical Prussian manner. Once they get on with it, it's like a blitzkrieg. That's what he's saying. Now listen, there's critics of Mr. Armstrong and my father that can dismiss this warning, and there's probably plenty even today dismissing this. The fact that we're sounding the alarm, the fact that we're saying the German military machine is coming back, and maybe some of the critics say, you know, you've been saying this for so long, they should be farther along. It's never going to be big enough to be an actual threat. It's not going to threaten the world. Well, people were shocked by the sudden reemergence of Germany in the 1930s. A lot had been going on underground. The German army, which was forced to be small until Hitler added conscription. I mean, they had the small army that was training the leaders. And then once conscription came, then, hey, you've got it. You've got the machine. And, of course, they had the factories in motion all through the 1930s as well, just mass-producing armaments for war. Arming for war. And this is where we're headed today. This is quoting Mr. Palmer. It says, the crown jewel of this new golden age is a new long-range missile. This is talking about joint cooperation between Germany and, of all nations, Britain. Britain. And then, you know, America's on the way out. And Europe doesn't trust America anymore. Europe's upset with the bad orange man. They hate Donald Trump. And so they've got the perfect cover. Mr. Palmer refers to this article, aiding the enemy. Going back to the cold open, what did Mr. Armstrong say? The nations of this earth, including Ephraim and Manasseh, are helping to build this thing. We're helping to move it along. Foreign Affairs has an article titled, Beware the Europe You Wish For. There's a few, and they're not even that strong, the warnings, but there are a few. I played the one from CNN the other day. This one says, for decades, the U.S. has asked its NATO allies in Europe to do more for their own defense. And by the alliance's 2024 summit in Washington, they had gotten the message. 23 of NATO's 32 members were spending 2% of their GDP on defense, up from 6 members in 2021. And this is largely because of Donald Trump. In explaining this increase, many commentators cited a single factor, Donald Trump. He's the one that insisted on this. And so they're ramping up spending, in Germany's case, a lot. Even as the U.S. influence wanes, the influence on the continent. Foreign Affairs says here, Europeans now see a fundamentally changed United States, and they are no longer confident that investing in U.S. leadership will secure their interests. It says further on, growing European power means the era of comfortable U.S. leadership is over. Now that it provides more for itself, Europe will feel less pressure to defer to Washington's interests. Can we see the direction that we're headed in? A Europe that doesn't defer to Washington's interest? A Europe that has its new military machine? A Europe that gets its strong leader, the Daniel Eight Man? That's coming too. A Europe where Germany can help itself to the nuclear arsenal of neighbors, including the United States, as we've got all these nuclear weapons on European soil. It says the changing balance of power means that the U.S. now has to earn Europe's partnership, just when that partnership is becoming more significant. As European defense spending grows, however, the two sides are becoming more equal. And it gives the facts, the figures here. When they pull their resources, they're not nearly as far behind the United States. And then, as I gave to you yesterday, the number spending $100 billion in the Iran war effort and running out of missiles. There's another follow-up from the Washington Post. The Pentagon sinking billions into the Iran war is quickly running short on cash. The funding crunch is already leading the Pentagon to limit training and maintenance that help maintain military readiness. It says the White House has asked Congress for an immediate infusion of $68 billion to help cover the costs of the war. War is expensive. And we're using quite a lot of our weapons for war. And what do we have to show for it, as I covered yesterday? The war continues. Iran continues attacking oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. And then you hear the news this morning of the Houthis doing the same thing now. That's an Iranian ally. This world is about to explode. And this time, it's going to explode with nuclear weapons. Winston Churchill wrote in 1929, he said, "Mankind has never been in this position before without having improved appreciably in virtue or enjoying wiser guidance. It has got into its hands for the first time the tools by which it can unfailingly accomplish its own extermination." Why don't we hear more of this today? This quote's almost 100 years old. Churchill, for his part, we talk mostly about Herbert Armstrong and my father in these past 100 years of warnings, but Churchill was a political prophet in his own right. He was a voice crying aloud in the 1930s, but people weren't paying attention. They ignored him, just like they ignored Herbert Armstrong before and after the war. Have we improved appreciably in virtue since 1929, since he wrote this? Have we gotten closer to God? The weapons, they definitely have improved, quote unquote. But have we improved in our nature, our character, our righteousness, our obedience to God? Have we improved in humility? He says that is the point in human destinies to which all the glories and toils of men have at last led them. They would do well to pause and ponder upon their new responsibilities. He says death stands at attention, obedient, expectant, ready to serve, ready to shear away the peoples en masse, it says, ready, if called on, to pulverize without hope of repair what is left of civilization. He awaits only the word of command. He awaits it from a frail, bewildered being, long his victim now for one occasion only, his master, just waiting for the master to come along, to push the button, to give the order, to give the command. And of course, Hitler became that master in the 1930s. And what happens when the Daniel 8 man shows up? What then? What do we have? Says here from that Washington Post piece, sorry to bounce around so much, but this year's defense budget is about $1 trillion, including $150 billion in one-time funding Congress approved last year for a range of military priorities, from advanced weapon systems to energizing the U.S. defense industry. The Trump administration has requested $1.5 trillion for 2027. This really is sad and pathetic to watch. to think about spending these resources in vain, to think about spending our strength in vain, just wasting away. It's great for the U.S. military-industrial complex, for sure, because the world's arming for war, and the weapons production is increasing in every Western nation, in every Eastern nation. But what are the limits on America's power? I think we're beginning to see that already. Well, we know it because of prophecy. The pride in our power being broken, the strength being spent in vain, but Iran gives us another glaring example of how the U.S. just can't win wars like it used to. And as I said yesterday on the show, look at what the U.S. had to do, and Britain too, and the Allies, to win World War II. It went on for 6 years. Well, that was the sixth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Now we're about to see the seventh, and the outcome's going to be very different from World War II. And Bible prophecy tells you this. And Herbert Armstrong was sounding the alarm, a voice crying in the wilderness for over 50 years. And since he died, for 40 years, or at least the 37 years that the Philadelphia Church of God has been in existence, we have continued on with that end time Elijah work. When we come back from a short break, we'll get into that that forum on the resurgence of left-wing terrorism that took place, I think, at the State Department last week, and give you a few sound bites from what Secretary Rubio had to say. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
For far too long, however, our counterterrorism doctrine has had a blind spot. A blind spot when it comes to extremist violence from the political left. Even today, the very idea that far-left terrorism could be a serious threat is treated as a right-wing fever dream, or worse, as a dangerous fascist conspiracy. It's treated this way by many in the press, by many in academia and our universities, and by many of our legacy institutions. It is why during those George Floyd, so-called George Floyd riots in the summer of 2020, as criminals and extremists burned and looted their way through America's great cities and nearly brought the country to its knees, city governments all across the country simply refused to prosecute the people conducting these acts of violence and terror. It is the reason for the now infamous image Maybe you all recall this, of a news anchor from a very prominent agency, a news anchor, standing in the neighborhood, consumed in flames. Meanwhile, the cryon on the bottom read that the protests were mostly peaceful. This was something worse than a double standard. Left-wing violence was not just excused, it was treated as sacrosanct, a protected class unto itself. That era has to end.
As Melanie Phillips wrote, he gets it. He see for the all through Obama years, all through the Otto Penn years, what did we keep hearing? Well, the dangerous threat of right-wing violence. And there's certainly some of that, but look at what the left has been getting away with for years. And as he brought out, they weren't even prosecuted, these criminals, in 2020. So many of them were let out of jail the next day, if they were even arrested. She says, Melanie Phillips, Marco Rubio's blistering speech identified the rot undermining the West. For the past quarter of a century, said Rubio, counterterrorism has meant the fight against radical Islamist extremism. Well, that had been brought under a measure of control. The blind spot now was over terrorism by the far left. And you see it even yesterday with that guy trying to firebomb ICE because he hates ICE. He hates any kind of a crackdown against illegal immigration. And he's not alone. There's a lot of people that fall into that category. And there haven't even been mass deportations. I mean, seriously. Let's be real. that hasn't happened. A lot of people wish it would. Here's more from Rubio last week, clip two.
And here in America, we remember. We remember the same reign of deadly terror, justified by the same slogans, motivated by the same wicked ideas. We remember the Weather Underground, which bombed the Pentagon, which bombed the State Department, and bombed the Capitol. We remember the Black Liberation Army, which staged armed robberies and executed police officers at point blank range. We remember the Symbionese Liberation Army, which shot a public school superintendent to death with cyanide-packed hollow point bullets. In one 18-month period between 1971 and 1972, the FBI counted some 2,500 bombings on American soil, a rate of nearly 5 a day. The overwhelming share of that violence came from left-wing extremists. Between 1970 and 1980, 93% of terrorist attacks in the West came from the far extremist left. These are numbers that would shock most Americans today because we've been taught to believe that this kind of political violence, it simply doesn't exist or it's being exaggerated. But it does exist, and we're actually underestimating it. And our nations bear the scars to prove it.
Just to pile this on to what we discussed yesterday, here's more proof that we're not just living in the last days, but this world is off the rails with evil and deception. Like he said, we've been told it's not even a problem. We've been lied to. Well, we've told the truth. In fact, if you look at what we have, and he was right about the communist infiltration and so on, and Mr. Armstrong writing back in the 1950s about their ultimate goal. Skip ahead to clip eight. This is the White House Deputy Chief of Staff, Stephen Miller.
It's very important to understand that left-wing political terrorism seeks as its ultimate end the overthrow of our system and form of government.
That is literally what Herbert Armstrong wrote about 70, 80 years ago. We've got quotes from the 1940s and 50s, and he was right. He says here, it's a kind of warfare we don't understand, talking about the spread of communism. It says it uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within. Wrecking our morals, he said further, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life. weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. He was right. He said it first. What's the end goal for this movement from within? You see, as America's being attacked from within, the attack continues. Those forces may have been abated to some degree when President Trump returned, but still, they're out there talking about communism and Stephen Miller and Secretary Rubio. They know what they're going up against, at least here at home, but we can only see one enemy at a time. That's been the history for Ephraim and Manasseh. Listen again to Secretary Rubio, clip 3.
And today we face a new wave of this old evil. Here in the United States, the share of left-wing terrorist attacks and plots has risen to levels not seen in decades. Americans have seen what those numbers mean. An all-out assault on our immigration officers, sniper attacks, explosives, armed ambushes. A transgender shooter opening fire on Catholic elementary school students as they pray, his gun marked with slogans like, "Where is your God now?" A healthcare executive executed in cold blood in the streets. Multiple assassination attempts on a sitting president, and the murder of the greatest conservative activist of a generation, a man who happened to also be a husband and the father of two young children, shot and killed while speaking to a crowd of students. This is a distinctive and unique evil. It has always been driven by a hatred, above all else, a hatred for civilization itself.
And it's building toward a civil war. And that's only going to expose America to the forces without, the outside threats, the outside enemies. As they see America begin to go up in flames, an America they didn't trust, an America they didn't like, an America they hated and despised, an America they were jealous of. And they're going to come upon us. Our lovers, as the Bible puts it, Ezekiel 23, our lovers are going to turn against us. And Herbert Armstrong was warning of that for decades. My father had an article back in 2017, America's Coming Civil War. He quotes Bill O'Reilly, who asked at that time, this is 9 years ago, is civil war brewing in the U.S.? Look at the Trump derangement and everything that happened in 2020. And how through it all, the deep state, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, and the summer of love, the COVID lies, the vaccine lies, and no one's held to account. They ride off in the sunset with their millions. Average Americans just want everything to calm down so they can get back to their lives and their pleasures and so forth. This is my father writing, 2017. But the shocks for America aren't going to go away. You can see that if you're watching what is happening with open eyes. But beyond that, you can be sure of it because of the prophecies in the Bible. We've got to watch and pray always, as Jesus said. We've got to be armed with prayer. Watch world events. Watch what's happening. Don't be deceived by words. Don't be deceived by flatteries. Don't be deceived by lies. Many Americans, it says, are troubled by the divisions and hatreds being expressed right now, but they need to be a lot more concerned than they are. The problems are going to get worse and worse until people get the message and they learn why these disasters are happening. He says Donald Trump's win is a prophetic sign of impending civil war and anarchy. People just want to blot him out. People on the radical left. I saw an article where the Spanish football team they photoshopped the president off the stage when they were receiving their trophies because it set off so much anger and hatred in Spain and around Europe. So they just blot out the picture. Well, as we've seen, there's plenty of people that just want to blot him out, period. And they've tried to multiple times. That's the world we're living in. Just murder him. That'll bring peace. Just assassinate the man. And that will finally we'll have unity. That's the kind of derangement that comes right out of the mind of the devil. 2017. When was that one? Here's another one. Same year. Lincoln, talking about Abraham Lincoln, Lincoln foresaw great peril for America. He knew it would take a crisis for the nation to learn that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that's where we are, except that this time, as Churchill prophesied, we've got the weaponry, the powerful weaponry that can exterminate mankind from off the earth. And we haven't improved in virtue. We've gotten much worse. Just as the Bible describes, just as the Bible prophesied would happen. It says here, the bitter division in America today is leading to another civil war that will be 10,000 times worse. Here again, you heard it here first. Tomorrow's news today, you can see it building. You can see it if you're watching, as my father said, if you're watching with open eyes. All of this has to happen before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. I'll just leave you with this verse that Lincoln referenced. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We can't stand unless we stand with God, unless we stand together with God. Now that will happen when God's government and family, when God's family is ruling the earth. I think we have about enough time to roll with 17, 18, and 19 on the clip list. This would be some feedback from Celtic Throne, and then the 8-minute recap that we have in between, and then we'll finish the show with more feedback. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again next time.
Hello, Edmund. I wasn't on the tour the whole time with the crew, but as many of you know, there's 70 performers, there's 20 or 25 backstage working. This is their 15th show in 35 days. They've been all over the southeast of the United States, and they're excited to be home for their final performance. So, yes. A couple of them today said, pray for our energy, because it's a little tiring. So I told them, hey, you're in the Armstrong Auditorium. The energy is going to be electric. You're going to do fantastic. So if you feel inclined to cheer, to clap, to dance in the aisles, by all means, have fun tonight. And then after the show's about 2 hours and 15 minutes. There's a 20-minute break in between. And then all of the performers, or at least a lot of them, go out into the lobby to hug everyone. So there's your opportunity to congratulate them for a final performance. Also, this evening we've got best-selling author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza in the house. And his wife, Debbie, and no offense, Dinesh, I'm more excited about Debbie being here because Dinesh saw Celtic Throne 1 2 years ago, went home, told his wife how much she needed to see that one. She didn't see it. Hopefully at some point she will be able to if we perform that again. But then they both came out here. They're here for Celtic Throne 2, And she is a big Irish dance fan, and we're hoping that she just really enjoys the experience here tonight. So they're in the back corner here. Welcome to Celtic Throne 2, the Psalter of Ireland. Enjoy the show.
think of the show so far?
It's awesome.
It's actually amazing. It's very wonderful. I haven't seen anything like it ever.
The show is pretty good, and everything's different. This is my first time to watch that show.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, I love it. It almost brought me to tears. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, I love the show. I think it's great. Just the artistry of the dancing, the musicians, it's altogether fabulous. Really like it.
I loved it all. I love the show. It's great.
Oh, it's fantastic. I brought my granddaughter to it, and she's really getting, she loves it. She may become a dancer herself now.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. It's great. I'm glad you guys are in Augusta. I don't have to drive to Atlanta.
It's absolutely exciting and very energetic. Love it. It's takes you somewhere you've not been before. It's really nice.
It is absolutely fabulous and energetic, and I absolutely love it.
A great show. Great show. Gorgeous, fabulous, so much fun.
We love it. It's been very fun. Very talented.
It is fantastic. Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely. Had no idea I was coming here. Wonderful event. Absolutely talented. The people are amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's energetic. It's just amazing. The talent. We love it. It's great.
I loved it. It's amazing what they're doing. Absolutely great.
It's pretty good. I like it. Yeah. It's different for Augusta. So thank you.
I'm from England. And I've been here for a while, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I saw the original Riverdance. It was wonderful. These are really good. And the children are so sweet.
It was so good. I want to come back.
I loved it. It was amazing.
Oh, that show was excellent. The best. Very good.
It was fantastic. They're all energized. It was so exciting.
It's fantastic. A great expression of the Irish heritage and culture. We've loved it so far.
The show is awesome. This is my first time, and it will not be my last. It is awesome. All that footwork, it makes me want to go home and start doing all of that. I am happy. I'm having a good time. They are some hard-working people.
Really enjoyed how you tied it to history and everything. You put it in focus. Really good. Really enjoyed it. And with my girls. What'd you think of the show?
It was good.
Just good?
I have video of them dancing the whole time.
Yeah, that.
Kids, my kids and my wife, they're the ones that surprised me with this as a surprise gift. I've never got to see Riverdance style Irish dance live. This is my first time. Loved it.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yep.
It was great.
Glad
the
you
energy.
Got it.
Oh,
yeah. We'll be back to see you again if you come back.
It's the best thing I've seen in a long, long time. The show is phenomenal. The singing was fantastic. The dancing was off the chain. And the storyline, it was just worth the 3-hour drive.
We absolutely loved it. All the younger kids were so great and the songs were beautiful. What did you think, Evelyn?
It was good.
They take dance. She said she loved to do Irish dancing. It was so good.
Fantastic. Me and my granddaughter came, and I think she might want to be a dancer now. But I had a great time. I appreciate the opportunity to come.
It was awesome. It was great. Terrific. Go see it.
Wonderful. The dancing was terrific.
Everybody was in sync,
yes.
Which is great. And the use of the Wushu staff with the Irish dancing was amazing.
What she said.
Yeah.
That was the best performance I've seen y'all do ever, like Broadway level. And I'm very biased, but I really mean it.